listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Good morning. I'm Cardinal Francis George. For the next hour, the Archdiocese of Chicago will be hosting discussions on issues, people, and associations that touch our lives. Welcome to the Catholic Community of Faith.
Good morning. This is Father Joe Noonan from the Vocation Office of the Archdiocese of Chicago. I am here this morning with Brian Welter. Father Brian and I are the co-vocation directors until January 1st, when Father Brian is the vocation director. Good morning, Brian.
Good morning. This is the handoff show.
The transition show.
Passing the microphone.
Exactly.
So across the table here.
For those of you who are out there maybe driving or at office or at home, and you've ever watched the Olympics and they have the track baton getting handed off between runners, this is the handoff.
It's the great handoff of the microphone, yes.
So Father Brian began, this past July, right?
Past July, July 1st, in the vocation office. It's been 2 months now. It's been a very exciting 2 months, and I'm really looking forward to however long I'm in this the vocation office. It's beautiful.
Outstanding, outstanding. And we have with us, with Father Brian and I, a guest this morning. James Wallace is a seminarian for the Archdiocese of Chicago. And James is home in Chicago for, I guess, an extended summer because he studies at the North American College located in Rome. Good morning, James.
Good morning. How you doing, Father?
Good, very good.
Good to be here with you all.
Yes, it's great to have you. Father Brian and I are delighted to have you this morning. I think, Father Brian, I'm going to kind of begin the handoff by allowing you to jump in with the first question for James.
Sure. James, just for the people listening out there, you know, you're a seminarian, you're studying in Rome, you're going to be a priest, studying for the priesthood at the Archdiocese of Chicago. We do send some seminarians to study in Rome. What's, just your experience of life in Rome, the life at the North American College, if you can kind of give us your perspective.
Sure, definitely.
Your Rome's Eye perspective here.
Yeah, and if you want, I can give the answer in Italian, make it truly authentic. I might lose a lot of listeners.
The only problem, James, is we wouldn't be able to see the movement of your hands if you're really Italian.
Oh, that's right.
That's true Italian. Yeah.
Well, that's probably a good
gestures.
Thing, because not a lot of the hand gestures are appropriate to the seminarian.
Italians. Okay, well, it is a G-rated show, so
that's right.
PG,
right.
So...
No, it's truly a privilege, beyond privileges, to study in Rome. I try and liken it to when I'm back in Chicago, a heavy kind of financial city, it'd be like studying finance on Wall Street, but it doesn't even compare to study theology and to discern your vocation to the priesthood and to be formed to be a priest in the Eternal City is really amazing. Where the North American College is within the shadow of St. Peter's Dome. We can go up to the roof and not just get a whole view of the entire city, but we can turn our back and have the entire view of the Dome of St. Peter's Basilica, the Pope's apartments, and beyond. So it's just an amazing experience to be formed with Benedict, with all the saints, with St. Peter, and, of course, Jesus Christ, who is in all of that. So it's really an amazing experience.
Now, most of our listeners understand that Vatican City is its own country.
That's right. It's a sovereign nation.
Sovereign nation. So actually, you are in the city of Rome, which would be Italy, and then cross, the border, and boom, you're right in Vatican City.
The land that the seminary is built on was owned by the Vatican. It's right outside the walls of Vatican City, so technically it's not within the walls of that nation. It's on Italian soil, but it's land that was owned by the Vatican and was leased to the American bishops to build the seminary. So we have actually two addresses, an Italian address and a Vatican City address.
Wow.
If that makes sense.
No, it does.
It's European.
Sure,
so we,
sure. Well, we all, give them a little break one now and then, don't we?
Right.
But, that is an interesting point about studying in Rome for the Roman Catholic priesthood. It'd be, I was just thinking just a moment ago, it'd be kind of like studying an archaeological perspective of Egypt and trying to do it from, Chicago versus going over to Egypt and doing digs and stuff right there.
Right. Right. And the whole intention of sending a seminarian to the North American College is that they will come back to their prospective diocese, in my case, come back to Chicago and bring to the people that experience, that exposure to Rome, to the universal church, and give that slice of experience to the people of Chicago. So when I was asked to go to Rome, it was an incredible honor, but I was more happy for it. One, the people of my home parish, and the people for the Archdiocese, because this was as much for them as it was for me, James Wallace, personally. I take the people with me.
What year are you in now, James? You're going into your...
I'm going into third year theology, so I have two more years.
So you did your first year of pre-theology at Mundelein Seminary?
I did, yes. 2007, 2008, I did pre-theology at Mundelein 1 year, and then the last 2 years I've been in Rome.
So give us a little, some highlights of the last 2 years, some, you might say, snapshots of your first 2 years that people might be interested in.
Sure. Well, when we first got there, we had a month of Italian classes in Assisi, so kind of an immersion.
Wow.
So that was incredible. I'd never been to Europe or Italy in my life, so getting to study Italian in Assisi, near the tomb of St. Francis, St. Clair, was just beyond powerful. And then during the orientation process as a new man, as they call it in Rome, we had the first Mass at the tomb of St. Peter, in St. Peter's Basilica. That was kind of our opening Mass for all the new guys. And the rector of the North American College said, in 4 short years, we're going to go upstairs to the level of the Basilica, the high altar, where we'll be ordained deacons in the fourth year of theology. So next fall, I'll be ordained a deacon in St. Peter's Basilica with all my classmates in Rome from the North American College. So it was just a real kind of stark image that we started at the tomb of St. Peter, and then we would progress through our formation and ultimately end back at St. Peter's Basilica when we're ordained deacons. So that was just an incredible opening. It just was kind of a hit you in the face knockout to get you going.
Yeah.
And then a couple days later, we went up to Castel Gandolfo, the Pope's summer residence, and had an audience with the Pope as new men.
Was that a barbecue? Did you have a little barbecue?
Yeah, you know, we played a little pool basketball with with Benedict, and there was a dunk tank. And
dunk tank.
Like that.
No,
yeah.
It's a little more formal than that, but pretty exciting to meet the Pope.
It was, yeah. And then just to fast forward, this past January, the whole North American College had a private audience with the Pope because it was our seminary's 150th anniversary. And so Pope Benedict met all the seminarians personally. So I've got a picture of me shaking Benedict's hand, kissing his ring, just asking him to send a prayer for the Bears, telling him, to keep the course going.
We might need a novena or a little bit more than that.
Right.
But that's great.
Right. Briefly,
Father Brian's got a couple questions. Just don't want to hog the microphone. Father Brian, jump in there.
No, James, you're. I just had a couple things. Just for all of our background here. It's called the North American College.
That's right.
And so, does that mean that you have at that college seminarians from all across North America that gather there in Rome to study their respective dioceses back in North America?
Yeah, it's kind of confusing. It's like Rhode Island is neither a road nor an island. Well, the North American College is really just the American seminary. It was founded in the middle of the 1800s, basically for the seminary for the United States of America, but they didn't want to name it the United States of American Seminary.
Sure.
So we don't have Mexicans or Canadians. Mexico has its own seminary in the city. And the Canadians in the past have either gone to the English College or a couple other, the Irish College. They generally haven't gone, though we have had a few Canadians in the past.
You've had a couple Australians?
We actually do. We have a couple of Australians. The Australians used to go to the Propaganda Fide, it's called. That's the seminary for the missionary countries, which the United States used to be a part of when it was technically a missionary country. Australia is still labeled a missionary country in church terms. So they send their guys to Propaganda Fide, but after a while I think they wanted to go to just a different kind of culture seminary. So they asked if they could send a couple of guys, the Australians, to our seminary, and we accepted them. So we have about 8 or 9 Australians with the North Americans, or with the Americans, I should say.
Now, James, you mentioned that you learned Italian. Just for our listeners out there, how many other, what other languages do you speak?
I speak the Chicago dialect of English. English.
Okay.
I took a little bit of Spanish in high school, but and I also in college took Arabic, then now Italian.
Are you keeping up with your Arabic?
You know, not really. I knew in college when I was going to kind of go towards the priesthood, I kind of stopped trying to improve the Arabic and focus more on Latin and things like that. So, but it's something I should probably keep going on with the Arabic. Who knows?
Now, one challenge that you and I have talked about a little bit, maybe extend to your listening audience. The brotherhood of the priesthood, you know, is a very real and strong thing. And that often is developed during, you know, seminary years. And so while you're in Rome, you know, there's some technological advances that have allowed you to keep in touch with your classmates in Chicago. Tell us a little bit about, you know, what efforts you've tried to make and trying to keep in touch with guys and the Archdiocese and your family, too.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, like you said, Father, it's one of the things that's crucial to our priesthood. It's priestly fraternity is absolutely fundamental. We don't have families or kids or anything like that, but we do have our brother priests who are really the ones who can empathize with us the most on whatever. So it's important to have friendships. And I know being in Rome, being removed somewhat from my buddies, my Chicago seminarian buddies, that, you know, I have to keep in touch. Email, obviously, but Skype, I don't know if the people out there I'm sure people use Skype out there, you know, with the video link and even Gmail chat, things like that is just a good way to keep in touch with my friends. So there's a few guys that will Skype once a month or once every couple months, and some guys will even try and visit Rome if they're on vacation or if they're making a pilgrimage during one of the quarter breaks at Mundelein. But yeah, it's you know, it's an important thing. I really try to take it seriously. It was kind of bittersweet when I was asked to go to Rome when I was sent out there, because I knew I was going to be removed from my classmates, which I knew was an important part of my formation would be in my future life as a priest.
Right. So, and at the same time, you're meeting some great guys from around the country that
you're forming some
good friendships with. So you might have the best of both worlds in that sense.
Yeah,
so
definitely a good experience.
We're going to take a quick break and return to Catholic Community of Faith with Seminarian James Wallace, Father Brian Welter, and Father Joe Noonan. Stay with us and come back after these messages.
If you haven't read the Catholic New World lately, you're in for quite a surprise. It's bigger, bolder, and better than ever before.
The Catholic New World is a rich and diverse resource for Catholics throughout the Archdiocese of Chicago. It carries stories of faith, hope, and inspiration. Our most read column is written by our publisher, Cardinal Francis George, our shepherd, teacher, and leader.
Our columnists provide support in spirituality and evangelization, and you'll want to browse the Around the Archdiocese page, your gateway to Catholic activities throughout Cook and Lake Counties.
Traveling this summer? Then stay connected to your church while you travel by visiting CatholicNewWorld.com and sign up to follow us on Twitter.
That's CatholicNewWorld.com. View our photo gallery, catch up on the latest news, and if you haven't already, subscribe to the Catholic New World or call 312-534-7777.
Your faith resource. Subscribe now to the Catholic New World.
Despite medical advancements, prevention, research, and groundbreaking treatment opportunities, the ongoing impact of the global HIV/AIDS pandemic continues to be staggering. Please join or support Catholic Charities this year on Saturday, October 2nd in Grant Park at the AIDS Run Walk. 100% of the funds raised by Team Catholic Charities are returned to Catholic Charities in Cook and Lake Counties. For more information, please call 312-655-7322 or visit www.catholiccharities.net.
Welcome back to the Catholic Community of Faith. This is Father Brian Welter. I'm here with Father Joe Noonan from the Vocation Office at the Archdiocese of Chicago. And on the phone, we have seminarian James Wallace. James is studying in Rome.
He's Buongiorno,
James. James has been there for 2 years. He did 1 year of pre-theology at Mundelein Seminary. He was asked to study in Rome at the North American College, so different dioceses across the United States send some of their seminarians to study in Rome. We were talking with James about his experience in Rome these past 2 years. And before we get back to James, I'm just getting a question here from Father Joe Noonan.
Yeah.
So in Italy, apparently, there's a lot of gelato there. Favorite flavor?
What's your favorite flavor, man? Shout it out.
Well, for you got to have gelato like 4 or 5 times a day, so I definitely take advantage of that. Favorite flavor is probably pistachio, but it's got to be the authentic kind. If it's like light green, you know, glow in the dark, you know, that's
you can't get the mass-produced gelato. You got to get the homemade stuff.
No,
right?
You got to get the homemade stuff, and we know the best gelato places.
There may be people who have had some gelato out there, and maybe people who don't know what we're talking about. Tell us what the difference between gelato and ice cream is, just for you, James. What is it?
Well, it's it's not soft serve ice cream. It's whatever the hard ice cream is. But you get it in a smaller portion. It's kind of like custard in a sense. It's just kind of creamier, much more fruit based,
richer.
Yeah,
it jumps off. It just jumps off the spoon in your mouth.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. But it's I'll take Dairy Queen too. It's two different sides of the
You're
coin.
Being way too diplomatic.
Yeah,
way.
Right. Yeah.
For those of you who've never had gelato, I think one of the things I envy most about James being in Rome, besides being near the Pope and the Vatican and the Colosseum, is just having gelato 3-4 times a day.
Gelato and pasta. Yeah, if you like Italian food, you're also
you're good. You're good to go. All right. Well, I know Father Welter was interested in having a couple questions, so I'll just think about gelato here and be quiet for a
minute. That's right, yeah. don't go dying on us, Father Joe, all right?
I won't.
Yeah,
James, so, you know, you've been in Rome for 2 years now,
yeah,
and the year pre-theology at Mundelein Seminary. So, you know, just a little bit about your own background, your own vocation story. You know, what led you to studying for the priesthood, if you just want to give us a little... You know, talk about your vocation, your own experience.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's probably the question I get asked the most. I mean, why, like, what made you do it, or why?
Yeah, I think a lot of guys that are studying in the seminary get asked that question.
Yeah, yeah.
What's your story? Right.
I mean, some guys have more precise moments of epiphany when they just, something happened, they knew they were called. Mine, I think, was something I was called from the get-go. I just didn't really see it until... Basically, I got to college when it just finally, the notion of what seminary and priesthood was all about, I got an idea of, and that's when it was just clear. But I went to, I'm from Winnetka. I went to New Trier High School, went to college out in Washington, D.C., so it wasn't, a lifer, as they put it. But the story I've told, and I'm sure I know Father Brian, Father Joe have heard, I was just in New Trier High School. I was playing baseball, and... I was driving home from practice one day, and there was, kind of police trucks or camera crews outside my parish, and the pastor, it was just an issue with the priesthood, and I noticed that it kind of raised bells in my heart that I knew the priesthood was something meaningful to me. Now, I was a sophomore in high school, didn't have any idea that I was called to be a priest or even wanted to be a priest. I was playing baseball and football and thinking about whatever, But I, for some reason, my heart just jumped up when the priesthood got some attention and maybe was attacked a little bit, was attacked by my friends, whatever. And I just knew from there that I identify with the priesthood more than the average high school Catholic male would. And that's, looking back in my history, I just knew that was a time that God was showing me that I had the heart of a priest. I was called from in my mother's womb to be a priest, as they put it. So
sure.
There are other instances like that kind of throughout my childhood and through high school and into college when they just jumped out at me as instances that I was called to be a priest.
And so something happened in high school, that something welled up with inside you to stand up for the priesthood. And
exactly.
Then throughout college, where'd you go to college, James?
I went to George Washington University.
George Washington,
in D.C.
And now that feeling, that call to the priesthood, was
right.
How was that still with you out in D.C.?
Well, when I got to the reason I went to school out in D.C. was because I was interested in the government and intelligence. You know, I said I studied Arabic, and I had a bunch of internships in the kind of political and intelligence community. But I was always grounded in my faith, and so I was sure that no matter what I did, how interesting an internship or studies that I did, I would always pray and go to Mass on Sunday. Well, one year, a priest that I became friends with asked me to try going to daily Mass, and I did. And I noticed that daily Mass was the best part of my day. Wasn't that what I was doing was boring or unexciting or just wasn't lighting my fire. I mean, I was doing pretty interesting stuff in Washington, and even when I came back one summer to Chicago and had an internship in the city, I still went to daily Mass, and I realized that's what was kind of getting me fired up. That's where I was finding fulfillment in daily Mass. So, yes, if you want to compare like what was interesting and, in more of a career aspect, yeah, certainly the church. But then that's when I realized it was so much more than just a career. It was, a way of life, as if you were going to get married. I realized this was how I was called to love the church through the way of a priest.
And that's an outstanding example, really, James, for all men maybe discerning the priesthood, is to attend to your prayer life and go to daily Mass as much as you can. And give the Lord a chance to speak to your heart as you did.
Yeah, like a priest told me, go to daily Mass for a year. Don't even think about the priest. Just go to daily Mass for a year.
Right.
And, evaluate at the end. And it's, like night and day difference what the grace God works through you. And I've noticed that in seminary, even certain practices that I've developed and just how abundant the Lord's graces have been in kind of making me the best priest that I can be, just by doing a daily holy hour, or twice, or a confession once every 2 weeks, or spiritual direction things. All that, those practices, daily rosary, are just huge.
And those are things that men can do now who
will
be discerning the priesthood.
Yeah, definitely.
And also too, the vocation of marriage, and even those who are pursuing single life, and maybe men or women discerning religious life. These are Catholic spiritual opportunities that really go underutilized. I really think if more Catholics went to daily Mass, they would be almost excited to go to Mass on Sunday versus seeing it as, I have to do this.
Yeah, right.
It's just a font of God's grace just ready for people to tap into. It really is.
I mean, I always tell people, when I was dating in college, it was when I truly understood what it took to get married and to be a legitimate husband and father, that I realized that I was called to be a priest. I mean, you're called to give your whole heart either to your spouse, or in the priest case, you give your whole heart to the church. The priest is called to love equally as much as a husband or slash father. And so when I realized this was how I was kind of programmed, like my hard wiring, if you want to put it that way, to love was this way, to love the church as a priest. Was it something I would have chosen? I mean, maybe not, but it's just that's who I am. I mean, and that's how God made me. So it's not a matter of, me not wanting to get married or me not doing, feeling fit to be a father. It's just this is how I'm called to love. And I couldn't imagine giving my whole heart in any other way than fully to the church as a priest.
Sure. It's as you alluded to before, it's how you were knit in your mother's womb, how God created you to be.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is, I think, an awareness that many people do pray for to be, you might say, given clarity. And that's kind of what discernment is all about. So just a shout out for those who are maybe listening, who are discerning perhaps religious life for the priesthood, maybe follow James' example. Go to daily Mass. Start praying every day if you're not already in a significant way. Liturgy hours, the rosary, another devotion. Go to holy hour. And get a spiritual director. So for those of you who haven't had a spiritual director before, maybe you could talk to your local parish priest. Maybe you could give Father Brian or I a call here at the vocation office. We're happy to try to get you one. wonderful guides to help you to discern where God is pointing you to in your life. Real quick, Father Brian, I want to give a shout out for some specific things that can help men discern. We have Exploring Priesthood Weekend. That's a discernment weekend in October, I believe. What is it, Father Brian?
October 8th through 10th.
And that's
and you can find more information on our website, chicagopriest.com. That's just a weekend up at Mundelein Seminary. Guys who may be feeling some interest in the priesthood, a chance to get together. Really, you know, just kind of step away from any distractions and the busyness of life and be up at Mundelein, the beautiful grounds up there. And have a chance to talk with other seminarians and, of course, Father Joe and myself, and just really kind of listen to where the Lord is leading in your life. So that's one discernment event we have coming up. Another is a program called In Search. It starts in October, runs through March. It's a weekly program. We meet on Tuesday nights. And this is for guys that are out of college, that are working and feeling called to priesthood, but really to help them gain clarity to really what the Lord is calling them to in life. It's a beautiful program, In Search. I was a product of it about 10 years ago, and we've had quite a few priests that have come out of that program.
And the one thing that we just mentioned, as James alluded to, there's opportunities in your life that come up, maybe by God's planning, maybe by your planning, that gives you insight. So, James, you mentioned, you know, as a high school student going up and, you know, seeing some more attention given to the priesthood. And I think that's kind of what these opportunities of EPW, Exploring Priesthood Weekend, and In Search do, is it's just taking a time out of the noise. There's a lot of noise in our society. Not all of it's bad, but it's just noise. And you got to slow down a little bit and give God a chance, give more attention to where God's calling you. So if you're interested in the priesthood or even have a mild, you might say, movement in your heart that you might be called to this, please check out the website, chicagopriest.com. Contact Father Brian or myself and sign on up, because if anything else, hopefully you'll grow in your own relationship with Jesus Christ. Some of the best compliments we've had are from men who discerned that God was calling them to, you know, marriage or something like single life or religious life, but yet they were so happy they took part in this because they just grew in their faith. So
yeah,
that's,
I would, you know, I would echo that too. I mean, there's one, it's an amazing thing to see a seminary. Whenever one of the things being in Rome is pilgrims from Chicago are coming out all the time, and I take advantage to see them and show them around St. Peter's or show them around the city. But I always make a point of bringing them to the seminary and having lunch or just meeting my buddies who I'm close with. And it's an eye-opening experience for them because they see, like, seminary is filled with a bunch of young, normal, cool, but, like, completely in love, fired up men to the priesthood, guys who you would trust your kids with, guys who you would trust your own soul with to lead you on the path to God, but also men who you would just want to have fun with and hang out and have a good time with. So it's an incredible experience for people. I know, personally speaking, I never knew what a seminary was. So just seeing what it was all about is just a great, you know, lesson. So
yeah,
I think all men and everyone can could benefit by just going to a seminary and seeing seminarians.
And there's a certain you know, element of fear by some men, because I think it's going to be like a military, you know,
yeah,
situation.
Right. They're gonna,
you know?
Yeah, lock you up in,
lock
in a
you
cage
down
and yeah, with
yeah,
you.
Yeah. In fact, during our Exploring Priesthood Weekend, one of the most common, you might say, experiences I witness is when a man comes in and he's so nervous, he can barely introduce himself. And then by the time he leaves, he's just so relaxed. And I've had guys tell me, you know, I want to come study here, just because, you know, the guys are joyful and happy. And
I mean, since I've been home, I took some of my buddies, Chicago seminarians. You know, we went to a Cubs game one day. You know, we had a barbecue over here at my parents' place. I mean, it's a very kind of relaxed, but you're all like-minded in the sense
sure.
of you're on fire for love
now
of God.
Now, you alluded to, James, just a moment ago, some visitors coming to Rome to visit North American College and kind of game a tour. You're a huge Cubs fan, right?
I definitely am, yeah.
Was it a little bit of a thrill when Ryan Sandberg stopped by in North America College?
Yeah, that was quite an amazing experience. I like, when I entered seminary, I thought I would kind of put aside all my, like, fantasy to meet my childhood heroes, and then, sure enough, Ryan Sandberg comes out to Rome, and he comes to North American College, and we hang out on the roof and talk baseball for like half an hour. And
that's outstanding.
Yeah, and he came with his wife Margaret, and they're just a very, very lovely, incredibly nice couple. And Yeah, and I still keep in touch with Margaret and Ryan, and it's
that's tremendous.
Yeah, it's an amazing experience.
So God's gifts work in many ways.
Yeah, that's right. James, you never know what you're going to get.
James, be assured of our prayers as you
get ready
to go back to North American College. Thank you very much for joining us and sharing
your
story.
Yes, and I will continue to pray for all the people in Chicago from Rome.
Outstanding.
Yeah.
Thanks, James.
Okay,
we'll
thank you. God bless.
We're going to be back after these commercial messages with a Catholic Community of Faith. Join us.
You're invited to watch The Church, the Cardinal, and You this weekend on cable television. Here's host Graziano Marcheschi.
Hispanic ministry is celebrated in the Archdiocese of Chicago. We'll take you to the annual Noche de Gala. We'll talk with Cardinal George about the evolving role of deacons in the Catholic Church, and we'll relive the excitement in a southwest suburban parish that played host to Lord Stanley's famous cup. Welcome to the latest edition of The Church, the Cardinal, and You.
For several interesting stories about the Archdiocese, please watch The Church, the Cardinal, and You this weekend on cable television. Go to www.archchicago.org and click on Radio TV for the time and cable channel in your area. That's www.archchicago.org. The Church, the Cardinal, and You. Compelling television about your Archdiocese.
Most interment arrangements at the 43 Archdiocese of Chicago cemeteries are made through a pre-need plan. Your thoughtful planning today is economically prudent and contributes to peace of mind for you and your loved ones. Catholic Cemeteries counselors are available at your convenience. For more information, call 708-449-6100. Catholic Cemeteries, serving the Catholic community since 1837.
You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Every Monday through Friday from 9 to 10 AM, the Archdiocese of Chicago presents programming about the people, the issues, and the faith that affect all our lives. Thanks for staying with us here on Relevant Radio 950 AM. Now again, the Catholic Community of Faith.
Welcome back to the Catholic Community of Faith. This is Father Brian Welter. I'm here with Father Joe Noonan. We're both in the vocation office for the Archdiocese of Chicago. And we just spent the last half hour having a conversation with one of our seminarians, James Wallace, who is studying for the Archdiocese. But James has been studying in Rome for the last 2 years. But this portion of the program, we have a little bit of a transition. Father Joe Noonan has been in the vocation office for 10 years, and he's been on this radio program for
five or six
years on the radio, Father Joe?
I think so, yeah.
And today, the microphone is being handed over.
You might even hear the transition as it's being pushed across the table.
Hopefully a smooth transition.
Very smooth.
And so this is the transition show from Father Joe to myself. And so if I just want to lob a couple softball questions here to Father Joe.
It's like your first official interview here.
It is. It
All
is.
Right,
yeah. So
good,
I'm just going to lob some out there.
Okay.
So
fire away.
10 years, Father Joe, you spent 6 years in a parish as an associate pastor at St. Francis Borgia. A little shout out to them, to St. Francis.
Mm-hmm.
And then you worked in the vocation office since 2000.
2001. July of 2001, made the transition, sure.
And yeah. this January 1st, you are going to be leaving the vocation office to go on
sabbatical,
and then you will be transitioning into a new role in the Archdiocese. I assume you're probably going into parish life.
We're hoping.
You're hoping that, yeah, wherever the Lord leads you, sure.
Right.
But
right.
Looking back on 10 years, what's been a highlight of being vocation director for the Archdiocese of Chicago?
Well, that's a great question. I could not have guessed that I would be in this role for this long. When I first spoke with Father John Canary, then the rector of Mundelein Seminary, now the Vicar General of the Archdiocese, Monsignor John Canary. I initially thought it would be a 5-year assignment, and I had already basically made some initial plans. Of course, the diocese has to approve of things, and the cardinal ultimately has the authority to assign where you go. But I had already worked out a plan to go to a suburban parish when Father Canary invited me to pursue being, at that time, it was called a recruiter. And I was the assistant to the recruiter, Tom McQuaid. So I went 1 year as an assistant, and then I was going to be 4 years as the recruiter. And then the cardinal, in the midst of my very first year, kind of restructured it to be a vocation director. So I guess some of the highlights would be just seeing the growth of this ministry, being overjoyed at seeing the number of men responding. Even the number of men discerning. So those who maybe discern not to pursue the priesthood, but were open, you know, just young men, middle-aged men, just being open to how God is calling them in life. That's edifying. It really challenged me in some ways when I saw some of these guys being so willing to do God's will, you know, so open to following God's call that it said to me, well, wow, you know, how am I doing? You know, so I think I've grown spiritually in many ways as a side benefit, you might say, of this work. So I think that's probably number one. Anytime you grow closer to Christ is a good thing.
So this ministry, being the vocation director, has helped you as a priest.
Most definitely.
By being with these men who are open to the call of God, it made you think about your own call in your own life.
And then part of it too is, as you know, you trying to help them to pray. Some of them have outstanding prayer lives when they first call you, but some don't. You know, some need a little helping hand in the beginning. And so in that, you know, whenever you quote unquote teach something, in some sense you're echoing that teaching to yourself too. And as Father Brian and I will help on the upcoming October 8th, 9th, and 10th Exploring Priesthood Weekend Retreat, you know, I've been involved in, boy, 3 a year, 27, 30 of those, well, won't be quite 30, but let's just say 27 Exploring Priesthood Weekend retreats, and you're helping men to learn about the priesthood on those retreats. You're helping men to grow in their own spiritual life. And so it does touch you. It definitely touches you. And so in some sense, most priests go on one retreat a year. Well, including the in-search retreat, I've gone on 4 retreats a year just with vocation ministry. And how beneficial is that? I mean, that's just tremendous stuff.
To spend some time in the silence and letting the Lord speak to your own heart there.
Right. Now, the first year or two, of course, as you know, because you're transitioning
sure.
in, you're trying to learn all the schedule, like, oh, where am I supposed to go
yes.
for this? And
so
where
your mind's running.
Yeah. Right. But after a year or so, when you get, you know, the retreats pretty much are open to God's grace, and we can't control that. We, you know, certainly just try to be available. So once you kind of learn the schedule, you're as touched by God's grace during those retreats as the men are. It's phenomenal. Really, it is.
Sure. And one of the things, as long as we're talking about Exploring Priesthood Weekend, sometimes, and you've mentioned this in the past, you know, guys are interested. There's a thought about priesthood, and they go on this retreat. There is some nervousness
mm-hmm.
about this.
Right.
And I think I've learned from you, and I know from my own experience that really, and I know you're very good at this, that you're helping guys in the end to gain clarity and discern what the Lord's will really is in their life. And
exactly right.
And there's no, and if they find out
right.
that it's not priesthood, if they do, beautiful.
God bless them, right. We basically want men to do several things when they contact us. One is, as we've alluded to already on the show, is to get a spiritual director, someone who is objective, who's not necessarily working in our office, but who can help them look at their lives, how God's worked in their lives to gain clarity. And in that clarity, then follow where the Lord's calling them. So we have had men who've come out of our Exploring Priesthood Weekend and in search who've entered Mundelein Seminary, praise God, who are now priests. And we've also had men discern by the time the you know, the retreat's over or the program in search program's over, that they're called a marriage. And I've celebrated some of those weddings. It's been wonderful because you get to know these guys. They know you're there to support them. You're not being a salesperson. No offense to salespeople. My brother's a salesman. We need salesmen in this country. But discernment is not selling. It's helping. It's helping.
It's helping listen to the Lord.
So that's a great joy when you see that someone's actually really able to connect really with the Lord's Spirit in their life and to follow with joy and love and courage, wherever it leads them.
Great. We're going to take a quick break here. This is Father Brian Welter. I'm with Father Joe Noonan on the Catholic Community of Faith. We'll be back in a minute.
Cardinal George directs the catechetical activities of the Archdiocese of Chicago through the Office for Catechesis and Youth Ministry. Our office promotes lifelong catechesis by directing certification and formative opportunities for those who teach catechesis in the more than 350 parishes that make up the Archdiocese.
Each year we host a myriad of opportunities to enhance adult faith formation and youth ministry programs. We sponsor certification classes, guest speakers, youth rallies, retreats, and our well-attended annual Chicago Catechetical Conference.
We work closely with pastors to ensure that their congregations and staffs are well-formed in teaching and learning about the Catholic faith. Our highly skilled coordinators serve various ethnic groups, speak multiple languages, and are always ready to serve Christ through catechesis.
Log on to www.catechesis-chicago.org or www.youthministry-chicago.org to learn more about how we can better serve you.
Real men answer the call to the priesthood. Is God calling you?
You know, I'm honored to be a priest for the Archdiocese of Chicago. I think it's great.
There's a desire to want to give back and to help and to serve those who are especially in need.
I think there's a wonderful opportunity for us to bring good news to a world that's very much in need.
When I experience through my ministry someone being brought closer to the Lord, it's an exciting, thrilling moment.
If you feel God's call to a priestly vocation, contact us at 312-751-8298. Or visit our website at chicagopriest.com. John Paul II once said, "Do not be afraid. Open your heart to Christ. The deepest joy there is in life is the joy that comes from God. Jesus is the hope of the world. The people are calling. The world is calling. God is calling. Answer the call to the priesthood."
Welcome back to the Catholic Community of Faith. This is Father Brian Welter. I'm here with Father Joe Noonan. We are both co-vocation directors for a few months at the Archdiocese of Chicago. Father Joe Noonan has been in vocation work for 10 years now, and this is the transition show, our monthly show. Father Joe Noonan has hosted the show for the past 5 or 6 years, and I will be... The microphone is sliding across the table as we speak.
Joyfully sliding.
No, it's been a fun 5 years for you. I know, Father Joe, interviewing many different people.
And
on
I would
show.
Like to, I would like to say thank you right away to Mike May, who's sitting here, our sound editor, Brian Brock, also sound editor, and Jim Dish, who runs the communication office. They've been outstanding. So thank you all.
Great, good job. So Father Joe, we were talking about, you know, your experience for 10 years doing work as vocation director in the Archdiocese of Chicago. Now, for many people who might not know, so both of us were parish priests, and
right.
Most people have experience of their priests in the parish, Sunday Mass, the different sacraments, just different contexts to meet, you know, their parish priest in the local church there in the setting of their parish. Now, you as vocation director for the past 10 years, it's kind of a special type of work in the church.
Mm-hmm.
And
certainly, yeah.
You alluded to some of the highlights. So down the road, or in the past, you've met some pretty interesting people. You've had
oh,
some
yeah.
great experiences where this has helped form your own priesthood. You want to just share some highlights here?
I think formation of the priesthood, I think that's a great way of looking at it, because ultimately, I think as human beings, you know, we are shaped and formed by God's grace first and foremost, but you know, that grace builds on nature. And so what are we experiencing as human beings and what we're going through? And I love being in the parishes. I know you did, Father Brian, out at St. Elizabeth Seton. Shout out to those folks, too. St. Francis Borgia was exceptionally good, welcoming place for a newly ordained priest. Father Dan Mayle was a pastor. Father Marty Borovchik was a resident. Father Joel Malkrone was in the house working with the deaf community. So for a new priest to be with three other great guys and then just such a tremendous parish in terms of parishioner support, the wonderful school, that, when I was in that environment, I thought this is it. This is the height of the priesthood, which I believe really I am called ultimately to be a parish priest. And so when the shift came to vocation ministry, in some ways I was very excited, as I know you are excited now too, and I still am excited that men are answering the call to the priesthood. But I just thought there would be so much, that I would miss, and I did miss it. But at the same time, I grew by expansion of my understanding of the church. So first of all, the local church, I had known, the parishes I had been a part of growing up, Our Lady of the Ridge, I was baptized there and started in school at their Catholic school there briefly. Of course, then again, after college, I moved to Lincoln Park and was part of St. Clemens and St. Michael's. But just to grow in the understanding of the breadth and width of the diocese, I think that's vocation director. That was really helpful for me, is to meet a lot of brother priests who, are just in Lake County, which I had never lived in or been in other than Mundelein Seminary. And then to meet, some of the deacons and some of the DREs and some of the youth ministers. And you see all these fine people, whether they're ordained, lay ministry, consecrated life, just on fire for Jesus Christ and on fire to serve the church. And that was inspiring, just to see the depth and width of God's grace working in this wonderful archdiocese. Then to meet our leaders, our fine leaders. I was ordained by Cardinal Bernardine. Really did not have a chance to know him much, but then to get to know at least, in some way, our Cardinal, Cardinal George, Father John Canary, Monsignor John Canary, is now our Vicar General. And then the rectors of our seminary, Monsignor Dennis Lyle, Father Jim Presta, Father Peter Sneeg, all these different men, to see how they've attempted through their own effort to help build up the priesthood in Chicago and build up the, the ministry of the seminaries. It's all been very edifying. They're all very talented individuals. I think that ICs are very blessed. So I grew a lot in my understanding of how this whole thing fits together, which I don't know if I would have gotten right away. I might have gotten eventually there as a parish priest, but parish priests, justifiably so, should be focused on their local, parish. You do need to have a greater interest in your brother priests and in the diocese at whole. So that's why we have deanery meetings, vicariate meetings. Some priests are in the presbyterial council, and working in different ministries. So we need to be, not myopic in that sense. But at the same time, you love the people of your parish, and so that's where most of your energies go. Whereas vocation director, you're stretched across the diocese. You have to be different places. You have to go to the Newman Centers. You have to go to different youth established things. You go to young adult groups, and before you know it, you really are just growing in this great understanding. I'm rambling, but you can see I'm excited, because it's really, I think it's really helped me be a better priest. Now, along the way, you've mentioned great people. I just have been edified by the, hundreds of people, whether it be, Father John Cusack, Kate DeVries at Young Adult Ministry, seeing some of the great things they're doing, people at Holy Name Cathedral, the Young Adult Ministry there, Nora Doherty, and then Father Matt Compton, and you just see people like Father Tom Ashenbrenner working with marriage preparation, and you just learn about all these different wonderful efforts to help the diocese that hopefully I can tap into then when I become a parish priest, a pastor again. So
right. So, and I guess you're discovering what just the beauty of God's gift to you, and by saying yes, no matter what we do, He's going to provide us with just that surprise of people on a daily basis to lift your own heart up.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then too, the people, in the sense that parish priests really do need to be brothers and to build a brotherhood. And so when you're in the seminary, you meet guys in your class. Maybe the class is ahead of you, a couple classes behind you. And I think, Father Brian, as you're already learning as vocation director now, because we are co-vocation directors, Father Brian's doing the real deal already, you meet dozens and dozens of seminarians. And as they get ordained, they become your brother priests.
Sure.
So last night, Father Brian and I had a chance to go to a priest group, gathering of priests, And, you know, we were sitting at the table with Father Steve Bauer, and Father Steve and Father Brian were in the seminary together when I was at Munley, the vocation director. And now here we're brother priests, you know. So I think it's a wonderful gift that you will have is you'll meet dozens of guys who will be your brother priests in just a few short years.
Great. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to be back with Father Joe Noonan. This is Father Brian Welter for the Catholic Community of Faith.
Hey.
Choosing an elementary school for your child is one of the biggest decisions you will ever make to shape your child's future. So why pick a Catholic school?
I want my kids to learn more than the three R's. They need a faith-based education so they make good decisions.
I want my son and daughter to go to college. At Catholic schools, attendance and graduation rates are nearly 100%. And when these kids graduate, they go to college.
My teacher is so cool. She knows who I am. She helps me when I have trouble figuring things out.
My son isn't a number. The student-teacher ratio is 18 to 1, and Catholic school teachers are really dedicated.
I want my daughter to feel welcome, to be safe.
The test scores are well above the national average. Look out, college. Here they come.
Go to www.archchicago.org and click on Schools to learn more about the great benefits of a Catholic education. Invest in your child's future. Make your child a winner for life.
Welcome back to the Catholic Community of Faith. This is Father Brian Welter. I'm here with Father Joe Noonan from the Vocation Office at the Archdiocese of Chicago. This is the transition show. Father Joe has been hosting this show for the past 5 or 6 years, and Father Brian Welter now taking over the microphone as Father Joe is passing it across the
yes.
table here. So we've been talking about Father Joe Noonan being in the vocation ministry for about 10 years now, and a couple of the highlights, things that that he's been doing in the past 10 years.
Sure.
And just looking ahead, though, Father Joe, you are leaving the office January 1st to do something interesting some priests do an opportunity to do. And if you want to explain a little bit about what lies ahead.
And priest, we have an opportunity to go on a sabbatical. You know, it's periodic. I think you can first apply after 7 years. And I've been a priest now for 15 years, so this is my first opportunity to really get away. Sabbaticals are for three things. I'm excited about three things. The first is they want you to rest, genuinely, you know, get some rest. And the second is to, you know, do some type of professional advancement. So study again, you know, improve maybe a language skill, you know, do something that's going to help advance your ministry in your next assignment. And then third is to have some fun, you know. Sabbaticals are about growing, resting, but also have some fun. So, I'm sorry, in that rest part, they want, you know, it's a spiritual resting too. So it's not just, you know, laying on the beach or something. It's actually doing a retreat, you know, gaining some free time to be silent and be present before the Lord Jesus Christ. So I'm excited because I'm going to be going to Jerusalem for 3 months.
In Jerusalem, what are you going to be studying there in Jerusalem?
I'm going to be studying the Gospel of Mark.
Great.
Yeah, and so it kind of combines the first two things. You're in a schedule that they know you're on sabbatical, so you know, for you know, some folks they're kind of tired, so they give you a little bit of a leisurely morning. But then we're going to dive in, biblical scholars, and then we're going to have some on-site visits around the city and around the Holy Land where Jesus would have taught and preached and walked and lived. And I'm just pumped. I've never been there, and I've heard great stories. So that's really going to be, I just think, a tremendous grace.
And I think that's great that you're going to be studying one of the Gospels. And, you know, as a priest, and especially as a parish priest, Father Joe, you, well, both of us, we all, you know, our daily life is surrounded on, centered on the gospel, the word of God, because we're always, saying mass, preaching. Mm-hmm. So just looking, down the road here for yourself, the scriptures in your life, how have they been part of your life as vocation director,
huge,
as a parish priest, what you're looking forward to being in Jerusalem?
Father Larry Hennessy, just a real blessing to the diocese, a priest up at Mundelein Seminary, one of the faculty, he said, you have to let the word of God wash over you every day. And I've tried to do that. The church has built in right into the Liturgy of the Hours, one of the readings that priests do every day is a scriptural reading. So that's a built-in way in which you let the word of God wash over you. But then hopefully doing something, real intentional about going deeper and deeper, like this sabbatical program is just so necessary. I used to do that in an intentional way in my parish by teaching Bible studies. So we used to teach one in Advent and teach one in Lent. And that way, you have to prepare, to teach a Bible study. You got to learn. So it would make me really go deeper into those scriptures. And so in some sense, this sabbatical is going to be maybe my first offering in my new parish assignment, teach something on the Gospel of Mark maybe when I get back.
So this will be preparation for you as
for your
future parish.
Oh, yeah.
What are you looking forward to in Jerusalem? Anything that you really kind of desiring to see out there, the land where Christ walked?
I really am, I was blessed to grow up around water. For those of you around Lake Michigan, maybe, or even some of the lakes in, Illinois, Michigan, Wisconsin, Indiana. And so I'm attracted to, you might say, the Sea of Galilee. I really want to go there. In some sense, even getting back to the Old Testament, I kind of would like to go out to, at least to the Red Sea, looking at some of the Exodus passages, maybe. But I'm attracted to maybe some of the environs in the Holy Land where water, for example, the River Jordan where Jesus was baptized, actually being there too. So that's kind of powerful. But then all as well, go to some of the famous sites, of course, where Jesus was born, the Way of the Cross, walking that. I'll be there during Lent, so we'll actually be there during, you might say, the celebration of Christ's death and resurrection. So to go to those sites, those are the high points, I think, for me.
Great. So you're really looking forward to the sabbatical and what lies ahead for you. Just, on that same line here, looking ahead, you've been in the vocational work for about 10 years now. Mm-hmm. Where do you see vocational work going? How do you see that the Lord has been faithful in vocational work these past 10 years and into the future?
Well, vocation work in the future is two words, Brian Welter. I guess three, Father Brian Welter.
Thank you.
You are the new vocation director, and I think you're going to be awesome. I think you're going to do a great job. You also are blessed with a great staff, where I'd like to give a public shout out and thank you. Starting with the Secretary Anna Freeman, outstanding. Pat Pacer, who runs our vocation programs, and the assistant director of the office is Suzanne Smith, and they've just been phenomenal these last few years. And then shout out to John Whitlock and Dennis Stoll, who helped with the office before it came in, and even before them, way back at Mundelein Seminary, Dorothy Riley. There's just been some real blessed people, and the love they have for the church and the love they have for the priesthood, all of them, they bring it every day. And so what I see is more men continuing to answer the call of the Lord and having a really receptive, supportive office like ours to help them in their discernment. What I would like to shout out is to our brother priests and to the people listening, so lay people as well. You have to invite. You got to invite. A lot of priests are very happy to invite, but, they are busy, and so they don't have it on. Maybe there are five things to do that day. It's not a priority. Again, they're open to doing it. They just have other parish needs. And lay people think sometimes, oh, that's not for me to do. No, God is using us as tools to reach out to those men and women he's calling to religious life and priesthood. And it's up to us to be that catalyst to help them to hear the call of God and to answer it, give them support and encouragement. And so that's what I would say. The future of our priesthood is the more people that encourage and support the young men and women who are being called, the more of them will then answer. It's a beautiful thing to witness and behold. There are great men in the seminary now. They're going to be great priests. So I think our future is extremely bright. I really do.
And this is Father Brian Welters with the Archdiocese of Chicago Vocation Office. sitting with Father Joe Noonan, wrapping up our show here. Father Joe, just passing over the microphone.
It is sliding across the table right now.
Any last words, Father Joe?
My last words is, if you hear the voice of God calling, answer, and you can begin by checking out our website at chicagopriest.com. Thank you all so much for your support and prayers. It's been a privilege to serve you in the Archdiocese of Chicago.
Thank you, Father Joe.